Baltimore police officer was released from the hospital yesterday after being stabbed Saturday in Midtown. He was responding to a domestic violence call. Baltimore's poorest neighborhoods are seeing a spike in violent crime that hasn't been seen in years. There are twice as many shootings as there were this time last year. Homicides are up by 50%. The wave of violence intensified after the death of Freddie Gray this past April. Gray died from injuries sustained while in police custody. Baltimore's police commissioner was fired a week and a half ago. A permanent replacement has yet to be appointed. As part of our series On the Watch, WYPR's Mary Rose Madden reports that during this time of transition, some city residents are living in fear and chaos.
Okay, thank you guys very much. You guys want to come up a little and get out of that sun?
3 weeks before he was fired, Police Commissioner Anthony Batts held a meeting in a basketball court next to a playground in West Baltimore.
Can I see the hands of city reps that we have here available?
Hands went up. A deputy mayor and various city hall department heads were there. Batts wanted everyone to hear this discussion. Each of the commanders for the city's 9 police districts were giving updates, and Batts wanted them to brainstorm possible solutions. But he really wanted to hear from Acting Major Cherie Briscoe. She's the new commander of the Western Police District. That's where Freddie Gray was last seen alive by his neighbors.
This is a pocket of drug trade, right? And that's what in the middle is treatment, daycare.
You got treatment next to daycare?
Yes.
And what kind of drugs do you have taking place here?
We have heroin, we have crack, we have scramble, we have marijuana.
Is there different times that you have the drug markets that are going on?
The drug markets generally open up very early in the morning. This is a bit intel, and it's also supported by community conversations.
Are we saying like what time?
Like 6 in the morning, 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning.
So we're having drug trade when the preschool's coming in?
Yes.
Okay.
The meeting in the playground took place almost 8 weeks after crime started to spike in the city. Ray Kelly from the No Boundaries Coalition in West Baltimore says Batts and city representatives were visiting this corner too late in the game.
We have to deal with stuff that people couldn't imagine. If someone was getting killed every day in Charles Village or Mount Vernon, there would be commitment of officers, there would be all kinds of supplemental funds, but when it happens in Sandtown, all we get is, you got to stop killing each other, black pinning black.
The recently installed interim police commissioner, Kevin Davis, touts a new measure called the War Room. It acts as a command station for collaboration between federal agencies like the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office and the city police department. The people who work there are targeting violent repeat offenders and major crime groups. The War Room doesn't sit right with Kelly. The name is insensitive, he says. It's a media show pony. And there are lots of guns drawn on the streets by people not affiliated with gangs.
I just feel like it's been a lot of wasted effort. I feel like we've structured these conversations. We facilitated these meetings. I mean, you've seen what works. It works in every community you try. Foot patrols, visibility works.
For 2 years, Kelly and his group have lobbied the Baltimore Police Department for several beat cops to walk their streets. They'd seen foot patrols in Mount Vernon, a prosperous white neighborhood. Kelly says they'd push and push and finally win, getting 2 foot posts in the Western Police District. Crime would drop. Then, he says, the foot patrols would go away and crime would rise again.
The idea of the foot post is to have a sustained presence.
Kelly and others talk about a police presence that's helpful, not harassing.
You'd be amazed at how many people want police in their area, but they don't want police to come and be an occupying force.
Kelly says most of the time it's rare for a cop to just talk with, just chat with someone like him. He said usually the interactions go more like it did a year ago, when he approached an officer on foot patrol.
And I said, how you doing? I'm Ray Kelly. I appreciate you guys. And I had this officer fold her arms and say, I don't shake hands. That attitude was, I don't want to talk to these people.
Before he left the force, Commissioner Anthony Batts called police officers like that part of the problem on national news. He told district patrol officers that they were required to spend at least 30 minutes on foot patrol during each shift and to talk to the citizens in their district. He said officers should keep a football in their cars at all times and get out and play with people if it was a quiet day. But there aren't many quiet days in Baltimore right now. and there have been numerous reports of police not even responding to calls for help. It appears to many that the police rank and file are bitter. Officers said it felt like the city was against them during the Freddie Gray investigation, during the unrest, and after the six officers involved in his death were arrested. At a recent press conference, Lieutenant Gene Ryan from the Fraternal Order of Police said the rank and file were put in the line of danger during the unrest.
More than 200 police officers from the region who responded to assist in the defense of life and property were injured, some of them severely. In addition to the physical injuries, the morale of men and women of the Baltimore Police Department has suffered greatly.
In the union's after-action report of the riots, they said they were ill-equipped on many fronts. Their gear didn't work properly. Many officers didn't know to whom to report. And they say all arrests had to be approved by civilians in the department's legal section. The FOP said the rank and file was not getting the support they needed from city leadership. Interim Commissioner Kevin Davis appeared on WYPR just a day before that report came out.
There are some anxieties about what level of reasonable suspicion and probable cause needs to exist in order for them to feel comfortable about doing their jobs.
Davis says he'll be standing with his officers as they retrain and work towards a community-oriented policing strategy. But Baltimore cops have some old habits to break, and that won't be easy. And it won't happen quickly.
It's a very traditional police department. It's been focused on enforcement for the last two or three decades. So the big question cops have is, can you reconcile the change of enforcement-oriented to service-oriented and still fight crime?
Davis says it can be done. He wants to start training the mid-level sergeants and lieutenants soon. But Lieutenant Gene Ryan from the police union says that police aren't responsible for rebuilding neighborhoods. Not all officers agree with him. Major Stephen Ward from the Eastern District says people in the poorest communities, often where the most crime is, see the police officers more than any other city employee.
As the one gentleman says, we're not social workers. I beg to differ. We deal with probably more social services issues than police issues. And so they always ask when we're there, Major, how can I get a driver's license? How can I get a social security card? How can I get my birth certificate? Where can I get jobs? How can I get my record expunged?
Major Ward says he and his staff came up with information pamphlets. They hand them out on their Friday night community walks.
We actually came up with our own slogan within the Eastern District, and that's, we are in this together. Let's make a difference as one. And one is the community and police working together.
Ward hopes his message spreads far and wide. I'm Mary Rose Madden reporting in Baltimore for 88.1 WYPR.
Our series On the Watch is made possible in part by the Bendit Family Foundation, Sig and Barbara Shapiro, the Zanville and Isabel Krieger Fund, and the Open Society Institute Baltimore.